The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 21st, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on what has become a cloudy, rainy day in the Auburn area. And notice I only said the Auburn area, because that's where we are. That's the town that today is the only one that I care about. Happy Friday, everybody. Christian, happy Friday to you, sir. How are you? You're probably a little less stressed than I am on this rainy Friday afternoon.
Yeah, no, I got to sleep in. It was nice. I got the full
that must be nice.
8 hours of sleep.
I did not.
Woke up and was able to have a nice cup of coffee, have a decent breakfast, and get some quality stuff done throughout the day, just because, I mean, you know, just another Friday now in the books. Not how I would necessarily want it, but
I wish you were playing tonight.
Off day Friday, the first one that we've had in quite a while. No, I mean, I got my ties to this game as well. This is something that I've been going to since I was in middle school with my family and my cousins playing in this game, and we'd literally drive down, and I've been to quite a few of these Auburn and other team games, and a lot of them inside Duck Sanford Stadium. So I have my ties to them as well. You did the sinful thing, I'm sure, by looking at the unnamed weather app, because otherwise it would have been absolutely beautiful outside. So shame on you for that. I saw this morning that it was like 30% at 9 p.m., but you've obviously been sitting there looking at it on your phone plenty of times. And so hopefully I'll take your phone from you and you'll be good until just a little bit. But instead, you're looking at it right now.
Well,
so we're going to go right back to On the Line during the summer, where it's just going to rain.
That's what I'm
saying. For the entire show.
Yeah, just get it out now. That's what I'm saying. Rain now, that's fine, okay? It can rain between 2 and 5 o'clock all it wants to. Get a little warm, dry up the turf over at the Duck, and let's get this thing going at 7 o'clock. And hopefully there is no more precipitation after about 4 or 5 o'clock, and we can have a beautiful night of high school football.
Yeah, I mean, it might be about as slippery as the gymnasium floor last night.
Dude, yeah, that was something else. We're going to talk about that today, and we're happy that you guys are with us on this Friday afternoon. We are about to call our man Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. He joins us every Friday to start the show, and he's got some great bets for you as we are going to start the show with him as we do all the time every Friday. And we didn't have him last week just because of all the changes and things, and he had some things come up. We had some things come up, and so we weren't able to get Lee on the phone last week, but we're going to get to him here in just a couple of minutes. Plus, we are going to talk about some high school basketball. We'll talk about the Crosstown Showdown that we were a part of last night between Auburn High and Lee Scott. Also talk Auburn and Mercer in the football world, right? It's the DJ Durkin led Auburn Tigers against the Mercer Bears tomorrow. Then we'll make our picks across college football and make our final predictions for Auburn and Mercer. All that coming up on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. And we missed this guy. It's been a little bit since we've talked to him, but since we've talked to him, he has been on fire. This man has been picking college games. He's been picking NFL games. I don't even want to know what his UFC slate looked like a couple of weeks ago. We get to our man, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. What's going on, Lee? How are you on this Friday?
I am really good. Looking forward to getting my daughter. She'll be flying in on Monday for a week for Thanksgiving from New York City. So glad to have her. I think we talked about this. You know about the turkey bake-off with my two daughters for Thanksgiving, right?
Yes, and this is one of the daughters that has sung the national anthem, right?
Yeah. So the oldest, who just got married over the summer, she always makes the banana cream pie. This has started since I think they were 7 and 5. So it's been going on. This will be the 21st or 22nd year. So the oldest makes a banana cream pie. It's won more times than the youngest, who's from New York, who makes the huckleberry pie. So it used to be my wife obviously had to help them when they were younger.
Sure.
So whoever used to lose would end up running to their room crying for a half hour, an hour. But I'd say, can't we all be winners? And, you know, they know their dad's in sports and like, no, someone has to win, someone has to lose. So the banana cream pie, if it's done perfect, it's tough to beat. I got to be honest. But there's been a couple years, been a little soupy. The consistency wasn't there. And huckleberry pie is my second favorite. So if anyone wants to watch it, we will put it up on Twitter and TikTok. Should be up by 6 o'clock your time next Thursday. On Thanksgiving night, on both Twitter and TikTok at Paramount Sports, they can watch it. But there is a twist. There always is.
Uh-oh.
This year, I get a text last week from my new son-in-law and texted me that he and my youngest daughter's boyfriend, they are entering a mystery pie. So there's going to be a third pie in the competition, and so they better have something. I told him, I said, listen, I'm open to anything. The only pie I don't like, you don't have a chance with, because I'll be honest, I'll judge it fairly, but is lemon meringue. That's just one of the pies that I wouldn't choose. So I'll eat anything, pecan, I'll eat apple,
man.
I'll eat
cherry,
so anything.
And Lee, the first five callers get to know what kind of pie it is, right?
right. So it's a mystery pie. They're not going to tell me what it is. And I did lay down a second rule that if there is a tie, it goes to my daughter. So I got to be honest.
Tie goes to the runner. Tie goes to the daughter. That's how we fly on Paramount Sports.
Right.
Lee, man, it's so good to talk to you. And I'm so happy you're going to get to some quality time with your family next week. And we are going to talk to you next week, even though it is Thanksgiving. But we're going to bump it up and have you on this time on Wednesday next week here on ESPN 106.7. But you've got a full slate of games for us. We missed you last week. It's time to get back on the train at ParamountSports.com and a ton of great college football games. And we'll start with Oregon and USC as the Ducks favored by almost 10 points in what could be an elimination game for the college football playoff.
Yeah, it could be. So here's the deal with these two teams. I think that USC is much improved. Last couple years, their defense was Charmin soft. I mean, their front seven, you could run by them that easy. And this year, all of a sudden, pretty tough. I mean, they faced five tough teams in the trenches, and I'm talking about teams like Notre Dame, Michigan, Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern. They won four of those five games. Oregon, I think they're good, but the reason they're maybe not as good as teams, you know, that were number one last year going into the playoffs and went to the finals one year, they don't have that receiver that can take the top off. So instead of having a couple plays each game that go for 50, 60 yards and a lot of times a touchdown, they got to drive 8, 10, 12 play drives. And when that happens, more chance that you have a penalty or a turnover. And, you know, I just think that these two teams are pretty close. I think this line should be less than a touchdown. I think Oregon survives here. 28-25 should be a good game.
Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com with us on the phone lines, taking the Ducks to get it done against USC. Let's bring it back to our side of the country as Tennessee and Florida. It's the Vols favored by 4, but Lee, I've started to see people jump on the Gators, maybe a little upset brewing in this matchup on Saturday.
All right, so 2 weeks ago, Florida's terrible. I mean, they get blown out by Kentucky 38-7. Last week, I thought they played well for a half, but Ole Miss didn't play well on offense. Twice inside the three, came away with no points. Second half, they played better. Florida looked dead, completely dead in the second half. So we know that Tennessee's had almost no success. Haven't won in the swamp here since 2003. What do they have to do to be able to score on Florida? Hit on big plays, and I think they will. I think they're 2x2 offense. I mean, Gators gave up 38 to Kentucky, 34 last week to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss didn't play well. Forget about last week. Tennessee game against New Mexico State. That was a glorified scrimmage here.
Mm-hmm.
I know Florida's won 6 of the last 7 against the spread in the series. Different year. Game's not in September. Florida's done here. Tennessee, sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. 34-24.
Man, we're thinking that might have been, we were talking before the show, if there was one wrong team favored, that might have been it. But maybe they'll get one later on down the line. Sticking in the SEC, the 2:30 game over on ESPN, Kentucky and Vanderbilt, a Kentucky team that for some reason Auburn decided to bring them to life, and now their offense doesn't look terrible. Vanderbilt kind of the same way, continues to roll 8-2, 4-2 in the SEC. They want to still have a conversation about having a seat at the table in the college football playoff, favored by right around 8.5, maybe 9 points, depending on where you look. Does Vanderbilt keep it rolling in what could be an ultimate game next week with Vanderbilt and Tennessee?
You know what? I think that they can. And I just think that here's what's happening. If you're going to take a Vanderbilt to Miami, a team that's got to win out to get in the college football playoff, I think they're going to make you pay a couple extra points as far as against the point spread if you want to back them, just the way it's going to be here. So I think Kentucky, they play their best football, you know, when they're getting at least 7 points or more. In fact, they're 7-2 against the spread last 2 years. This is where Mark Stoops does his best work. Let's be honest. They're 5-5. This game is important to them. He's got to win this game or next week at Louisville, or I think he's done. They're all of a sudden running the football. Dante Dowdle and Seth McGowan last 2 weeks have run for over a combined 350 total yards. And also, their defense held Auburn to 3 points, you know, and Florida to 7 points. Vanderbilt, outside of Diego Pavia, can't run the football here. I mean, last 2 games, they're running back, their top running back gained 39 and 11 yards here. Vandy escapes here, 26-24.
Vanderbilt.
Game goes right down to the wire.
Vandy escapes Kentucky. The coach fighting for his life. You feel like the SEC carousel continues to go, and Lee Sterling says another coach may be added into the mix here in just a couple of weeks. We got our guy Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com here with us on the phone line, sticking in the SEC, a top 25 matchup in another team that wants to have a seat at the table, going on the road in back-to-back games, a bye week in there, but a win at Tennessee, a win at Alabama, and now Oklahoma kind of in the driver's seat, controlling their own destiny. They host 22nd-ranked Missouri, who's kind of stumbled as of late, 3-3 in the SEC, but pick up a big-time win and still have Ahmad Hardy, one of the best backs in the SEC, if not the entire country. That's the 11 o'clock kick. Central time over on ABC. Oklahoma favored by right around a touchdown.
Yeah, and if Texas A&M doesn't come back in South Carolina, and obviously Oklahoma was the story winning at Alabama, second story would have been Ahmad Hardy's running for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. So they can play defense at Missouri. 3 takeaways again last week. They've already faced 2 mobile quarterbacks here from Texas A&M and Vanderbilt. I have a feeling Bo Prabilla is going to play in this game. He's been practicing. So I wouldn't be shocked if he gets in here. And can Oklahoma avoid a letdown after the upset last week? I think it's going to be tough here. Shocker of the weekend. Here it is. Wrong home team favorite. Missouri finally gets that signature win here, 24-23.
There it is. There it is. Wrong team favored. Missouri to pull off the upset over the Oklahoma Sooners from Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. We get one more game in the SEC, and no, we did not make our man Lee pick the Auburn and Mercer spread. We did not make him do that this weekend. Instead, he jumps on Texas and Arkansas. You've got the Longhorns, who all are now eliminated from the college football playoff, hosting Arkansas, looking for their first conference win. Can they get it against the Longhorns as about 10-point dogs are the Razorbacks?
Yeah, and it's come down. I mean, the public for some reason likes Arkansas. You know, they compete, they show up, they just can't figure out how to win. They score and then they give up more. That should be their motto. They score and then they give up more. Their defense, pass defense, ranked 108th in the country here. I think Arch Manning has a bounce back here. You wonder why Arkansas loses? Just watch the last two series of the game last week. They just don't. The rush linemen don't stay in their lanes. And also DBs, when they're one-on-one to make a tackle, they just don't, you know, make the tackle and hold on. What they want to do is they want to play hero and dive for the legs here. Just not a lot of smart players here. I like Texas. They pull away 38-21.
Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com has picked the biggest game in the Big Ten. Four games in the SEC, but Lee, for folks who get with you right now, you've got a game of the week for them in the NFL coming up this weekend also, my friend.
Yep, game that I love here, the Saints and the Falcons. Not a high-profile game, but sometimes in these kind of games, the easiest winner, you want to get it, be one of the first five callers. Call 800-400-9741. Get the game for free. Saints and Falcons on me. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, we appreciate you, my friend. We'll have you on again next Wednesday right before Thanksgiving, and we'll definitely be talking about the Iron Bowl.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Thanks so much. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. You can give him a call right now. He'll give you that game of the week on him, Saints and Falcons, with a big note on the Falcons game where Penix is not going to be playing. Christian, I know you're sad to see Michael Penix not be a part of that Atlanta Falcons team, but I don't think it matters. They could put Tom Brady back there. I think they'd still find a way to blow football games.
Yeah. Not going to sit here and act, excuse me, like I am the most diehard Falcons fan, but
I mean, you try to watch them when they're on.
Sure, yes.
And I don't think I've ever seen a team in my lifetime that blows games like the Atlanta Falcons. And the fact that everybody knows it's happening.
Yeah.
You know it. You see it. Oh, they're up 21-0? Cool. No way this can go wrong.
No.
Like, unbelievable.
Oh, look, Bryce Young leads a game-winning drive. The Falcons have 20 seconds. Oh, they're going to go kick a field goal. Oh, they go to overtime. Oh, you go three and out and then let Bryce Young go march down the field and beat you.
Yeah, imagine losing to the Panthers.
Twice.
I mean, that team. I mean, imagine losing to Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers.
Especially, like, in overtime.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Couldn't be.
Especially, like, less experienced, younger Bryce Young.
What about at home? Think about it.
Falcons did do that.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah.
So.
At least the Packers didn't lose in overtime. They just they let it happen in four quarters. But they let Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers walk into Lambeau and get a 16-13 win. All right.
I didn't even make the connection of the Packers. I thought you meant Auburn. That was why I was saying.
Oh.
Less experienced, younger,
oh.
Bro.
Wow.
All three scenarios worked out right there. Wow.
They did. How about them?
That's why I was saying they did at home and on the road as well.
Oh, well, that just went over both of our heads. That's impressive. Well, we were talking about two different things, but they kind of tied together
and
it
worked.
That's impressive, man. We've been doing this too long together. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, man. Check him out. He's been on fire in college football, the NFL as well. You can get with him at ParamountSports.com. We got a ton coming up on today's show. Phone lines are open on this free-for-all Friday. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll talk some basketball, football, and more when we come back because we're just underway here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Christian Griffin and Jacob Goins with you in the studio, and figured we'd give my man a little bit of a rest. I'll play a little bit more of the host role today, because Jacob, for some reason, acts like he has a date tonight or something that he's gotta save the pretty little voice for. And I don't know. We're making it through. Making it through. But save the voice from yesterday as well, which was a very, very fun event. It was Lee Scott and Auburn High, and hopefully everybody got the news that was over on 96.3 W Lee. I know a bunch of Warrior fans tuned into that as well. It was the Crosstown Showdown and a Crosstown broadcast as well. It was myself and Jacob on the same call, calling our two teams. A little bit of conversational, a little bit of we called whoever had the basketball at that time and thought that it worked well, got positive feedback. And so hopefully those that weren't in the Auburn High Gymnasium that tuned in enjoyed what we were able to bring. But my goodness, do we have an absolute blast at calling these games, the environment, the community. We shouted everybody out. I mean, the administration, the coaches, the fans, just the community for making this a really, really fun event. We've been asking for it for a long time, but obviously the AISA versus the AHSAA wasn't really a reality, wasn't even really legal to be able to host a big event like that. But Lee Scott now in year two in the AHSAA. They wanted to do it last year but couldn't figure out all of the details as all of the schedules were already released at that standpoint. But man, we had an absolute blast calling this game or calling these games last night.
Yeah, we did. It was a really, really fun time, and it was good for you and I to get back on the broadcast together. And you could tell, man, these two teams, they clearly know each other. I mean, the pictures we saw, or I guess just the actions we saw of the players talking to each other post game, right? Just, yeah. I mean, everybody knows each other. All the parents know each other. I mean, that's just how it goes. And
it was a very blended fan base as well.
Yes,
right? I mean,
it was
red sitting next to blue. It was not you space it out and sit on your side of the gym.
Well, I was talking to some Auburn High and Auburn City School officials this morning, and they said there were 600 some people there last night. And I believe it.
Yeah,
I mean, it was packed last night. And they said, I mean, great turnout that we talked about on the radio. And I expect that to be a very similar case coming up in just a couple of weeks when Auburn travels over to Lee Scott. But one thing we talked about is Lee Scott just has the one side of bleachers. And so they're probably going to have to, like, sell tickets to that rather than just pay your way and find a seat. I mean, you're probably going to have to limit the number because Lee Scott also doesn't have a ton of standing room either, right? I mean, it's a pretty compact gym, which makes for an incredible home court advantage, right?
Very
when
much
it
so.
Is going crazy, but you're not going to be able to fit several hundred people in there in a couple of weeks.
No, the best that we've seen was Lee Scott and Glenwood this past year, I would say, in the probably not the region championship, but or the area championship, because Glenwood had some injuries. But I would say in the regular season, where it was, you were lined up. And I know you know Sanford Gymnasium, but yeah, everything lined up on one side. But it was almost like the 3A high school level, where everybody's lined up on the actual wall on the floor, and the referee having to tell everybody to back up because they're almost on the baseline for inbounds and stuff. That was probably the largest crowd that I've seen, and I would imagine that just because of the short travel and, again, everybody knowing everybody, that game would probably match the intensity. And the varsity girls game went not quite as planned. It was one of the ones where Lee Scott was very much – the big time underdog, just because Auburn High a lot more size down low and a little bit more speed with ball handling. But I think Lee Scott's individual ball handling, or defending on the ball, is one of their big strengths, and I think they did a really good job of that. But the traps, the pressure, the pressing for Auburn High really took advantage in that first half, first quarter especially, but still really surprised with how the team came out, how they responded to a much more, you know, inferior opponent, or they're at least got playing Auburn High. But talked with Coach Corey Harrison this morning about the things that Lee Scott was able to do right and how she was proud of the way the team fought. But, man, the boys' varsity game was a 14-point win for the Auburn High Tigers, but it did not feel like that from opening tip to the final buzzer. Maybe those last 2 or 3 minutes once everybody actually knew what the final score was. But through three quarters, you could have told me it was 5 points one way or the other, and I feel like most people would have probably believed you.
Yeah, and the way you know that Lee Scott is a really good basketball team is the way that head coach Chris Brandt of Auburn High talked about them last night on our post-game show on 96.3 W Lee. I mean, he went on for several minutes about that Lee Scott team and said that they are going to make a run in 3A this year. They bring everybody back except, I think, one player from a year ago, and they've got the size, they've got the defense, and if they can find some more scoring outside of Hayden Harper, which I think they can, Lee Scott's going to be uber talented and really, really good, and Auburn High's the same way. Once they get all their football players back, man, that Auburn High team has some talent too.
Lee Scott and Auburn V2 in the Crosstown Showdown December 5th. At Lee Scott Academy, both of these teams, again, really, really talented. Expectations are to be playing well into the month of February. We're 30 minutes in, and when we come back, we're talking a little bit of Auburn football news, a little bit more of a quarterback conversation as well, before we get to our team picks in hour number two.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. I am Christian Griffin. He is Jacob Goins. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. Jacob, will you have the same mistake? Are you going to call yourself Jack Hutton again tonight in the post-game show? Because I almost just did it. You're good for, what, every other?
I've done it twice this year. Twice? Yeah, I've done it twice. I did not do it last week, thankfully.
And you didn't do it last night because for the first time in forever, you had a color commentator for basketball.
Yeah, I figured last night I would try to go back to my Warrior Lee Scott Sports Network commentary because some of it was wanting to come back, but I was telling you, I've buried it so deep, not in a bad way, just to get my mind out of talking Lee Scott when I did it for 2.5 years to talk about Auburn High for the year and a half I've done it here. But no, I plan on signing off as Jacob Goins today, but if we win, I don't care who I sign off as. If we lose, I may let Rob sign off. I don't know. So
you might just not sign off at all.
Yeah, we may just go to break and not come back.
Just dead air.
Yeah.
For the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Encapsulating the feelings of everybody.
Well, but we'll see.
Not happening. So what's also not happening is I don't really know where I was trying to go with that, trying to find a Auburn football transition to there. But Auburn football is going to be playing, and hopefully there is a normal sign-off on that side of things.
I hope so.
As well. Oh, otherwise,
if Andy goes to break and doesn't come back and Auburn loses to Mercer, we're in big trouble, brother.
You want to talk about a way to kill the Iron Bowl anticipation that's building?
The coaching search, the Iron Bowl.
Because right now, everybody, the media is starting to hop on the – man, everybody's going to be watching this football game because it's basically a win and you're in for Alabama, but they know that Jordan Hare is crazy and it's the first true night game since 2007 for the Iron Bowl. I mean, this is beginning to build a lot of storylines for this contest. And I saw in there that I don't know if this is the official ESPN line, but saw that it was 27.5 in favor of Auburn, which just off the rip
for the Mercer game.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Sorry.
You went from Iron Bowl to 27.5 point favorite. It's like,
oh,
whoa.
Yeah. Surprise. No, this weekend. Talking about killing the anticipation for
the
Iron
for Mercer.
Bowl.
Yeah. that sounds.
It just, it
that seems
off the
like
rip,
a lot.
That feels like a lot of points for if you don't count FCS versus FBS, and you're just talking college football, a top three, if not the most proficient offense in football. granted, yes, we've thrown the asterisk on there that it is an FCS team and they're about to play one of the best defenses in the entire country. But, I mean, especially if you're not going to do a whole lot and make sure that you keep guys healthy. I mean, if you score 35, you got to hold them to 7. And that's or 8, based off of how you play that. But
7.5.
Yeah, a very big number, at least initially when you're looking at that for Auburn and Mercer.
Well, don't you expect, though, this DJ Durkin defense to respond, right? Don't you expect them to come out in this game, even if it is the inferior FCS opponent of Mercer, right? Given what we saw the last time from this defense where statistically it was the worst performance they've had all season and probably the worst one they've had in almost 2 years other than the Texas A&M game, even though you won that one, right? It's the worst performance you've had in a loss in quite a while, right? And so one-word answer here because I'll have a follow-up. Do you expect the defense to respond in a good way tomorrow for Auburn?
Steve Nash and Chris Paul, must-see TV.
I'll take that as a yes. And so my question then becomes, okay, with the high-powered offense that Mercer is bringing in statistically, right, would you rather see tomorrow for Auburn against Mercer, 1 o'clock kick inside Jordan-Hare, you can listen on the radio broadcast on Wings 94.3, would you rather the defense come back and basically reprove that they are what they are, that they are legit, and slow that offense down or kill it altogether? Or would you rather see the offense for Auburn keep humming the way that it did against Vanderbilt? Not that both can't happen.
Right, yeah.
I'm just asking if you had to choose one, would you rather the offense for Auburn continue to churn, or would you rather the defense come back down to earth in a good way and prove that they are legit?
I would feel more confidence if the offense still shows up and the scoreboard plays a big factor in this game. I think that the defense is going to be fine, but all you've heard about all week and for these past 3 weeks is how good the Mercer offense is. And so I think you obviously know watching this game that it's going to take some points to win this football game, especially if Deuce Knights is at quarterback and the system still looks good and he can look good to show that it wasn't just a one-off fluke of Ashton Daniels or Vanderbilt not preparing the right way, that it actually is it's a Derek Nix system that looks really good offensively and that you could plug and place multiple guys in there and still be able to do your job. And it looked good, it looked fluid, it looked competent, because I feel like that was the first time that you saw that since arguably Baylor in season opener, which all you did was have to run the football for 8 yards a carry when you did that. I would feel better going into the Iron Bowl if Auburn goes and wins a 45-21 type of game than a 24-3 type of game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And especially the thing you said there at the end is the key point is going into the Iron Bowl, right? Because you expect Auburn to win tomorrow no matter what, but then it's like, okay, what does Auburn do in the Iron Bowl? And look, that's an Alabama team that is good but has its flaws, right? They can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. And Auburn has a chance to basically be the opposite of that, right? Auburn stops the run very well. And when Auburn wants to, they can run the ball really well. And then it comes down to a quarterback battle, which, I mean, how fun could that be, right? If you're talking Ty Simpson, who's fourth or fifth in the Heisman odds, going up against Ashton Daniels, who, I mean, not saying he's Heisman potential right now, but you can see the flashes, right? Yeah. You can see the positives that he brings to the Auburn offense. And I've started to see some people bring up the idea of, well, he played against Vanderbilt. Now he's going to have basically 3 weeks off before he plays a football game again, talking about Ashton Daniels. So yeah. I don't know. I don't read too much into that, to be honest with you. But how exciting could that be, though? In the Iron Bowl, it's Ty Simpson versus Ashton Daniels.
I mean, it's that versus the quarterbacks and their secondaries, right? And Auburn's been great not giving up points, but they've been susceptible to giving up passing yards.
Sure.
And if DeBoer and Simpson realize that they can't run the ball early, but you're getting 8 to 12 yards just about every single completion every time you drop back, this could be one of those games that Simpson does throw the ball 40 times a game, or 40 times in this game, 45 times, just because they realize that's going to be the offense, and that's where Auburn has struggled defensively. And Alabama sits there and goes, okay, let's get to the 20s, and then we'll reestablish our offensive identity if we need to. Then we can try and run the football, because at that point, 3 yards, even 2.5 yards, looks a little bit bigger, and see if we can find the end zone rather than just settling for three, which is what brings up the counterpoint of my answer of the offense looking good, is Auburn's defense needs to look good as well, because if Baylor's going to try and throw the football around, if there's a lot of success that Baylor has throwing the football, then it brings up the conversation of, okay, two straight quarterbacks have had really good days. Now you're bringing in probably the best true quarterback in the pocket that you've seen all season long, arguably the best receiving core that you've seen all season long. How are you going to stop them?
Yeah, and that's going to be an Auburn defense that's missing a pretty key piece in that linebacker core.
It is, yes. Talking quarterbacks here in just a minute, but we wanted to talk about it yesterday, but ran out of time. But we do have to inform the negative news with the good news, as DeMarcus Riddick will no longer see the field for Auburn football this year. The linebacker with a season-ending injury over the bye week. On Wednesday, DJ Durkin shared on the SEC teleconference that Riddick underwent surgery to repair his shoulder. And so that is going to end the season for DeMarcus Riddick. And you hope that everything which we've heard is planning on going well and hopefully will go well. But a big-time piece that you're going to lose in that linebacker room, somebody that has experience playing in some of these big-time games, a vocal leader, a physical leader in that secondary and in that linebacker group. It's a big piece that Auburn's going to have to go without for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it is, and you hate to see it, and that's a guy that clearly has a bright future at the college level, at the pro level. I mean, DeMarcus Riddick is one of those defensive pieces that you are trying to keep around for the future of Auburn, right? And I think if DJ Durkin is on the staff, you feel pretty good about that. And that's something that we haven't talked a ton about in the coaching search, is the retention of the roster, right? And if DJ Durkin gets the job or doesn't get the job, or if he's retained or not retained, I mean, I think it's safe to say, obviously counting out the guys who are running out of eligibility, but the ones that Auburn is going to try and save on this football team with the brand new coach that's coming in, if you keep DJ Durkin on staff, you keep 85% of the guys who are eligible, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can believe that just by how the team responded on social media when they found out that Durkin was the interim. I mean, the pictures of Lil Durk's album, but putting the AI picture of DJ Durkin
with a grill
on the album with the grill and the, yeah, and all the chains and the bling and everything. I mean, that went around everybody, but it was all the defensive players that posted it. You know, they were excited. You know that Durkin was able to talk to his guys, and I know that they celebrated in those defensive meetings about getting that promotion, becoming the interim head coach. And, man, how many guys do you hear that say, I'm coming to play for Auburn because I'm playing for Coach DJ Durkin? Xavier Atkins was one of those guys earlier in the season, transferring from LSU, and it was a little bit of a overlook coming into this team. You knew that he was from LSU, and so because of that, you knew potential, but you felt like there wasn't a crazy amount of hype. He wasn't one of the biggest names in the transfer portal, but he was one of the more outspoken people talking about, man, I've had great conversations with Durkin all throughout high school, even into college, and this is a system that I find myself being successful in. It's a system that I want to play in. And now you look at the season that he's had already this season. I mean, it's historic on the Auburn defensive side of things. It really, really is for Xavier Atkins. I mean, half the time you feel like it, you're playing basketball out there from the standpoint of, all right, it's a box and one. You're going to face guard this guy 94 feet up and down the floor. You're going to deny him the basketball, and you're just going to let him go play. Xavier Atkins has turned into that guy where every once in a while, DJ Durkin, he gives 10 guys assignments, and Xavier, find the football.
Yeah, can we get that guy like 5 more years of eligibility, please? I mean, he's going to go down as for a guy who's only played 1 year here, as one of the best linebackers we've seen in a long, long time.
Yes, and has immediately become a fan favorite because of it.
Just the effort.
It's the way he plays the game and the way that he feeds into the fan base and the energy. And, man, you see the team rally around guys like that. All of that leading back to the fact that he was one of the guys that wanted to go play for DJ Durkin
right.
when he didn't have to, and he could have gone anywhere in the country.
Yeah, so that gives me confidence that if you keep DJ Durkin on the staff, you will retain most of the defensive guys.
Also, with the DeMarcus Riddick situation, in that teleconference, Durkin said, "We made the decision in the bye week to go ahead and have surgery." And so that tells me that Riddick could have gone ahead and played against Mercer or been questionable against Mercer and played in the Iron Bowl, but Durkin followed it up by saying, "I just think it was the best thing for him to go ahead and get it done and keep moving forward and hopefully move up that return date where he can have some offseason time to get his body right and be in a position to go play like he's capable of this time next year." And so made it seem as if Durkin guided him to go ahead and get it done now, so that way, again, I mean, for all you know, you go make a hit in the Alabama, the Iron Bowl, and all of a sudden things get that much worse, and that right. makes it to where the surgery takes that much longer to perform. It makes the setback day that much longer. Go ahead and get what you need to do now. Not saying in a season that doesn't matter, but in a season that doesn't have the aspirations of where you were hoping it was going to go
right.
early in the season, and get right, and hopefully we see you wearing number 6 next year for Auburn.
How about this text as we need to get to break in our on-the-line text box, which is open, by the way, 334-784-1067, says, "I think Auburn has only had one decommitment in the class since Freeze was fired. Penn State has had 17.
Yeah. A lot of those guys are defensive, and I know that there's a couple that have been crystal-balled to other places now. I think there was a Fong bomb for Womack. It's to A&M.
Yeah.
I did see that. But other than that, you haven't heard anything from Womack about that. You haven't heard anything about the decommitment from Auburn. And yeah, what a good point that it is that you feel like everybody on the defensive side of the football, yes, you're going to play for Auburn and in this environment, but it goes to show you that, yes, the head coach matters, but the position coach matters a lot as well, whether that's the lineman, whether that's your secondaries coach, whether that's your wide receiver coach. Those names make just as big of an impact as your overall head coach does, and that's why DJ Durkin, regardless of what the overall final say is, you feel like you got to find a way to keep him on the Auburn sideline one way or another. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. Come back, continue this conversation, talk a little bit about the quarterback situations as well for Mercer and the Iron Bowl, and then we'll get into hour number two where Jacob and I make our 10 picks of the college football season. We are deadlocked at 77-43 through 120 games of the season. Not sure we could do it again, but it's where we sit right now, and we'll see if we have any differing picks. All of that coming up when we come back here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. He is Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin. And we appreciate everybody for being here with us on this beautiful Friday.
Brother, what window are you looking out of?
Trying to work the magic that we...
Hold on. Let me get the latest update.
Oh, no. That's not what you're... That just counteracted what I...
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Counteracted the mojo.
Oh, yeah. We're good.
We're good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. For anybody that sees any rain in 2 hours, that's the exact reason why. I was able to work that magic at the free throw line a couple of times last night for Auburn. See, I have the good broadcast. It's not even the broadcaster's jinx. It's just the good broadcaster's mojo. You have
Do you have good mojo? Like, if you say something good is going to happen, it happens?
Like, yeah. It's not...
it's not neutral. You actually have some positive spin to it.
I'm not somebody that is like, I can't talk about somebody being perfect from the line or whatever in fear of it changing. It's more of like, Hayden Harper, 9 of 9 when he makes this, 10 for 10, and then, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've cursed many a kids in my time on the radio.
If you're listening to this and you played for Jacob's broadcast and you're not a full ride anywhere.
Yeah, if you're not happy with your stats, I will take credit for that. I will wear that. Yeah, so here's the thing. The hourly looks okay. The radar, on the other hand, does not. So...
yeah, but Auburn has this crazy thing that has, like, the weather detector, and it can just, like, push away clouds. I've seen it done in ways that shouldn't be explained.
Does anybody have James Spann's phone number? If they do, shoot him a text and ask him what's going to happen here. Did you see his update about what the Iron Bowl is supposed to be next week?
No.
It's supposed to be cold next week, brother.
It's actually going to be like a November Iron Bowl?
40s. Oh. Like, cold. Yeah. Let's see what it says right now. Yeah. Okay, not as bad. But
my unnamed weather app doesn't go all the way that many days.
8?
Yeah.
What? What app are you? Never mind. No free pub. Don't call him out on the radio. What weather app do you use that doesn't go 8 days out? Every app I know of has at least a 7 and a 10-day radar. Not that it's truthful or, like, accurate or we buy into it, but every weather app has at least a week.
My weather app is like the rock that people hang outside their front door, and it's like, if it's wet, it's rainy. If it's spinning, it's windy. If it's hot, it's hot. If it's
gone, it's a tornado. Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. No, Auburn next Saturday on the 29th for the Iron Bowl, high of 59, low of 43. And remember, it's a night game next
week. If you're making fun of me, what time is it at 6:38 with kickoff?
Okay, they don't have hourlies a week away.
Your unnamed weather app doesn't have that?
Someone said you're using the Temu weather app.
Basically, probably not too hard. Just mixes up the numbers on purpose, and you have to figure out which way. It's actually in Kelvin. That is what my
gross
weather app is. You got to do a lot of different calculations. And speaking of calculations, somehow, through 120 games, Jacob and I are both 77-43. We make our college picks for the best 10 games in college football coming up to start hour number 2.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7. Dang it. I'm usually the one to get him to laugh, but now I'm the one in this spot. Happy Free For All Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway in hour number 2 during On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Jacob just walked out of the studio to go grab his little honey tea, and it started raining out the window. So I need him to come back right now so that way I can make fun of him and say that, once again, his broadcaster jinx played a very big factor, because it is raining harder than it has all day, at least here looking out the window. But oh, man, what an hour number 1. That it was the definition of a free-for-all Friday. We started with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Got his thoughts and got his picks on the 5 best games in college football. Yes, Jacob just walked in. It's raining right now. You just said that we were clear, so your broadcaster jinx worked again. And it started raining as soon as you left the station, as soon as you walked out of the studio.
No, it's going to be done a little after 4, is what the weather app says.
Okay,
that's what it said. Also, it's not as funny when it happens to you, is it? No. Yeah, yeah, not as funny from the other side.
You can't even talk because you're laughing while you're bringing it. Yeah. Yep. No, it was pretty funny.
It's going to quit raining. I'm going to will it into existence.
I just thought that it was funny. It was, oh, no, we're good. We're good. And I said, okay, the broadcaster's jinx is going to come into play. And it is right now. I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. I'm confident.
I'm fairly confident, that everything will be good.
Yeah.
We also talked about Lee Scott Academy and Auburn High School, as it was everything that we possibly could have asked for in a competition on the hardwood. The very first ever Crosstown Showdown. Also, our first ever Crosstown broadcast. It was Jacob and myself on the call. Had a whole lot of fun doing that, and what a great event it was for the community. Tons of people have reached out, and so we appreciate everybody for listening and for your feedback, and hopefully everything sounded good on that side of things. And then we talked a little bit of Auburn football news in there as well, talked a little bit about Mercer, about the Iron Bowl, about some injuries that are going to keep one player off the field for the remainder of the season. All of that in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can go check it out in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. And here in hour number two, you know what the first 30 minutes are scheduled for. It's our 10 best games of the college football week. We make our picks and we add it into our total tally. And yeah, I said it a couple times, going to break somehow 120 games into the college football season, both Jacob and myself are 77-43. And it's pretty remarkable when you actually go and think about it, because we're not picking games that have 3 touchdown spreads or crazy games. I think the biggest one that we've picked all season long was Ohio State and Penn State at like 18.
Yeah.
That is the biggest spread that we've picked all season long. The biggest one this weekend is 8.5. And so the fact that with all of that, we're 77-43, and that's been with 5-5 weeks and 8-2 weeks and everything in between. I started down 5 games and have slowly crept my way back in. Jacob took a 1-game lead.
Have
2 weeks
I trailed
ago.
All season? I don't think I have. I don't think I've trailed all year.
No, I think we both went 8-2 in week 1. You went like 7-3. You might have gone 9-1 in week 2, and I think I went 5-5.
Yeah, and then you've worked your way back. Yeah.
The kind of working my way back. But yes, Jacob went 5-5 last week. I went 6-4. So we're tied now for the second time of the season. I say we get right into it.
Let's go.
Let's do it. We got 5 games in the first segment, 5 games in the next. And also, it's in hour number 2. We're talking Auburn. And Mercer might have a special guest come and join us in the studio as well. But we kick it off with our 11 o'clock games, Missouri and Oklahoma. Kicking it off with a bang. Another really good week of college football. A really good 11 o'clock slates as well. 22nd ranked Tigers, 8th ranked Sooners. Sooners favored by 6.5 at home, 11 a.m. kick. Jacob's always said that the early kick favors the road team and favors the team that can possibly run the football better. Both of those arrows point towards Missouri.
Yeah.
But does the name next to Jacob Goins lean towards Missouri?
Well, it did for Lee Sterling, right? Lee Sterling, this was the only team he said was the wrong team favored, if I remember correctly, that Oklahoma was the wrong team favored, and he picked Missouri to go on the road and get it done. Greg Sankey better call both Oklahoma and Missouri's athletic directors and just give them a thank you, because if this game didn't exist on the schedule this week, the slate for the SEC is horrific. The Big Ten, I'm telling you, just knowing people in that space that cover it on a daily basis, the Big Ten is laughing at the SEC this week because the games are terrible, okay? Most of the teams, like Auburn, are playing their final cupcake game, while the Big Ten's got a couple of play-in games for the college football playoff this weekend. This is somewhat one of them for the SEC. Missouri is probably out, but Oklahoma is very much alive. And look, I don't trust Oklahoma. I don't. I don't trust them coming off the win last week against Alabama. I know it's at home, but it's early. And I don't think they have a four-quarter answer for what Hardy's going to do to them and what Missouri has the chance to do. Give me Missouri to pull off the upset. Man, Norman doesn't scare me. Norman doesn't scare me. It doesn't scare Eli Drinkwitz. I don't care that his name's floating around for every job in the country. Give me the Missouri Tigers, and then Eli Drinkwitz's name becomes even hotter. Not a bad way, but in a good way. Give me Missouri to pull off the upset.
Outright favorites, Missouri. I'm glad we're starting it off early. I like Oklahoma in this game. I think that the front seven for OU is going to force Missouri to throw the football. And Bo Prabula was listed as doubtful on the Wednesday injury report. We don't have one yet. That'll come out this weekend. But I think Oklahoma is not going to let Ahmad Hardy win this football game. It's going to have to come with throwing the football. And I don't trust Missouri's receivers as much as I trust OU's front seven to get the job done. They're going to put pressure in the backfield. They're not going to let Ahmad Hardy run the football. I like Oklahoma to win. I'll take Oklahoma to cover as well, with an asterisk of Prabula being the only reason that Missouri would cover this football game. But him listed as doubtful right now. Oklahoma has the entire season in front of them. Missouri does not. I like the Sooners to win and cover.
A game that's also in the 11 a.m. slate that, because of the "if you're not in, you're out" narrative in college football nowadays, people won't pay a whole lot of attention to this one, but it should be a lot of fun. Louisville and SMU, 2-7-3 teams. SMU's 5-1 in ACC play, but since both teams have three losses, they are considered out. They're not even ranked. SMU favored by just about a field going home there in Dallas.
Yeah, what a weird game this is turned into, right? I mean, you had SMU as one of the favorites in the ACC preseason to make the college football playoff. You bring back Kevin Jennings. Louisville is able to hit the transfer portal really, really hard. And they get Miller Moss from USC, who was expected to make really big impacts. And both of these teams, wild enough to say it's 7-3, you feel like have underperformed a little bit to this point. But I'm going to trust who I think is the better quarterback and the more explosive offense. I think this – what is the over-under in this game? 51.5. I would put that more than anything. But I'm going to take SMU to win this football game. I'll take SMU to cover that 2.5 points as well.
Man, I look back at that week two game for SMU and the just – electric loss that they had, 48-45 to Baylor, which just does not look good now because Baylor's just not a good football
that
team.
That was the 14-point comeback in, 4.5 minutes? It was 80-yard touchdown drive, 3-and-out, and just about a 75-yard touchdown drive to take
it
to OT.
Double overtime loss to Baylor, 48-45. If SMU wins that football game, they're still in the playoff conversation. They're still in the conversation. They're an 8-2 football team with one loss in conference play. They have everything to play for, but because of that game, they're done. They're out. Now, the TCU loss didn't help them either, but regardless, SMU's still a really good football team. I've bought in a Louisville before. They're inconsistent. I can't figure them out. I like SMU to win. I like SMU to cover.
Even after Louisville beating the Fighting Dabo Sweeneys?
No.
Not going to be able to build momentum for that win?
No.
We didn't even talk about that game. Clemson had every single chance to win that football game. Missed two field goals on the last two drives that really, really hurt everybody. We continue on the 2:30 game. Kentucky and Vanderbilt, 14th-ranked Vanderbilt, favored by 8.5, maybe 9 points, depending on where you look. Vanderbilt still wants to have a seat at the table. Can they get the job done over Kentucky, who's finally found a little bit of offense?
I'll keep this one quick, man. Vanderbilt to win, Vanderbilt to blow them out.
I don't want to feel that way, but for a team at home that is on the outside looking into the college football playoff, I feel like I'm in that same boat as well. I will take Vanderbilt to win, and I don't know how close I see this football.
I don't think Clark Lee lets them just give up and give in because their playoff hopes are probably done. I don't see them acting that way. And I just, look, Kentucky, it's been cute, but you're not winning this football game. I'm sorry, you're just not. So, now give me Vanderbilt to win, and yeah, I'll take Vanderbilt to cover, too, easily.
What is going to be arguably the most fun game this weekend?
Are we picking it now?
Oh, man.
We may as well.
We can save it.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. You're in the driver's seat, brother.
Well, you were the one that asked if we were picking it.
I know. I asked you if we wanted to pick it yet.
You made me pull the e-brake. We're going to go chronological order. We're going to pick it right now.
Good for you.
Peer pressure doesn't work for Christian. 15th-ranked USC and 7th-ranked Oregon. The 2:30 game. Oregon favored by 10.5. Man, what a fun game this is. Oregon is very much in the driver's seat to win out, to make the college football playoff, not have to play in a Big Ten championship. USC, kind of in the similar spot that Oklahoma and Vanderbilt are in. They want to get two big wins to finish off the season. A road win against a top 10 team could possibly put them as the 4th team for the Big Ten, or possibly the 3rd team if Oregon doesn't pan out to make the college football playoff. Can Jaden Maiava and Mr. Mekhi Lemon get the job done in Eugene?
Well, let me ask you this first. If USC wins out, they're 10-2 with a win over Oregon. It would be their only significant win. They'll count the Iowa game, which I think is stupid, but whatever. They'll count the Michigan win, which I think is legit. I forgot about that one. So, two significant wins. Three, if you want to count Iowa. They're 10-2 out of the Big Ten. USC makes it to the playoff, right? Yes. So, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is what you just talked about with the Oregon Ducks, where they only have one loss. But people are talking about this being a play-in game for them as well, because if they lose, they still have Washington next week, which I think Oregon's the better team. Washington's been very disappointing, especially on offense this year. Injuries have not helped them, but even if they win that game, let me ask you this. If Oregon loses this weekend but beats Washington, they're 10-2, with their significant wins being Penn State, who was the 3rd-ranked team in the country at the time, and Iowa. Does Oregon make it to the college football playoff? That situation puts the committee in a spot to put either 2, 3, or 4 Big Ten teams in.
It makes it to where you then hope that they would take a look at what they've talked about before this season got started and bringing in the new strength of schedule and making that a new analytic that actually has a little bit of weight so far.
Which they haven't done.
Yes, correct. So far, it has not done that whatsoever. But, yeah, how weird could that be that Oregon goes 10-2, but USC is 10-2. Mm-hmm. USC has a win over Oregon, but they think that Oregon's strength of schedule is, so many things could still happen. Goes to show you why they're in fear of the 12-team college football playoff already rather than 16 or 24.
Right.
Just because with the 4-team playoff, it genuinely took a decade for there to be a 5th and 6th team that had a legitimate argument. It took 1 year
mm-hmm.
for the 13th, 14th, and 15th team to say, hold on, I feel like we deserve a shot as well.
Well, I pose all those questions to say this and pose this question. Is this game win and you're in, lose and you're out scenario for Oregon and USC tomorrow?
I don't think so. I think despite it maybe not being the way that it should play out, I think Oregon has a little bit more of the national respect by the college football playoff making it last year, getting a bye last year.
I think for USC it is.
Correct. Oregon, maybe not so much. I think USC at 100% is.
So who's your winner?
Man, I've been all over Jaden Maiava all season long. I think Mekhi Lemon is arguably the best wide receiver in college football. And yes, I know who I'm saying that going up against and putting his name in the competition against. But he already has over 1,000 yards receiving. And every single time that they need anybody to go to, it's Mekhi Lemon. 71 receptions, 8 touchdowns, averages 109 yards per contest. I like USC to cover in this game, but I worry about their inability to run the football. Yes, King Jordan has been, or King Miller, rather, has been really good with Wayman Jordan being out. I worry about their ability to run the football, especially away from home. That was a kind of the similar story in Champaign with USC losing to Illinois. I could see a very high-scoring game, but I think Dante Moore is able to get it done. I think Whittington has a really nice game running the football, receiving out of the backfield as well. I think there's a little too much firepower in Eugene where it never rains. I'm going to take Oregon to win, but I will take the Trojans to cover.
I'll make this simple. It's a huge game. It's a massive game. One of the biggest games of the college football season.
Oh, see, I know where you're going with this.
You really think that I'm going to put my reputation on the line with Lincoln Riley? Really? Heck no.
His name's in that coaching search as well. Kind
That's of almost
around.
As bad as betting on James Franklin. Heck no. Especially with Dan Lanning on the other side. No, sir. Give me the Oregon Ducks to win this game. It won't be pretty because I don't think Oregon's as good as we thought they were. They've had to scrape by some victories here as of late, but give me the Ducks to win and keep their season alive. And just want to say, Mekhi Lemon is a fantastic receiver. Most people have him as a top 20 draft pick this upcoming season, but man, he's going to look great in Scarlet and Gray next year. Ohio State can match that signing bonus until he becomes a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. And they're going to need a couple of receivers to throw to, which is crazy. He's been there for 3 years, Mekhi Lemon in USC. Yeah. He didn't play much as a freshman. I think he may have redshirted as a freshman. I can't remember. But yeah, he's going to look great up in Columbus, Ohio.
So you have Oregon.
Oh, yeah, I got Oregon.
Winning.
Not pretty.
And covering 10.5?
No. No.
Okay, so we're both in the same boat of it's of Oregon winning. Yeah, that 10.5 feels like a lot for a proficient offense and USC. Real quickly, we got to get to break. Arkansas and Texas, any way that Arkansas's offense finds a way to make this close?
They'll make it close. They won't win, though. Give me Texas.
I'm in the same boat. I think Arkansas's offense can slow the game down, minimize possessions. Talen Green's going to be a factor, but at the end of the day, I'll take the team with a couple more dudes and a defense that you think knows how to tackle a little bit better than Arkansas's does. So only one difference between the first five picks, and that was the very first one with Missouri and Oklahoma. We're five games in. We have five more games to go before we flip the page to Auburn and Mercer, and before we flip the page to Auburn and Opelika. We'll get to all of those conversations when we come back here as we're just underway in hour number two in the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
Moving right along here in hour number two of the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. He is Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us and may have to kind of roll through these next five games. We're five games in, five more to go, picking our top 10 games of the week in college football. So far, we only differed on one with Missouri and Oklahoma. Otherwise, we both picked SMU, both picked Vanderbilt, Oregon, and Texas. So we continue on in a game that maybe not is necessarily the most important game, but one that for no reason ever or no reason at all needed to be mentioned. 24th ranked Tulane and Temple do battle. Tulane favored by 9.5. This is a team in Tulane. Does have a really good head coach, if you haven't heard the name of every coach in the SEC now, or every team in the SEC now, trying to make a little bit of noise to get John Sumrall to come be their head coach. But they have college football playoff aspirations as everything sits right now. Does Tulane, do the Green Wave get it done over Temple?
Tulane's going to win, but Temple is going to keep this thing close. Distractions are a real thing. This is in Philly, PA. Give me Tulane to win, but they're going to have to squeak it out.
9.5 points does feel like a lot, but I'm going to take Tulane to win. I'll take Tulane to cover. I think that Summerall has the ability to keep this team focused despite any sort of outside noise. And if there's one coach to be able to do it, it is Mr. Summerall. We move to the 3 o'clock slate as we're moving rather quickly here. Got a couple of minutes before the music kicks us out. I was trying to figure out what you were doing. TCU in 23rd ranked Houston makes a great image for radio as Jacob has both hands on his head. I'm assuming that is referring to the Horned Frogs of TCU.
It's the only way I know how to make horns with my hands. Give me the frogs with the bumps on their backs, baby.
Can Connor Wegman find a way? He'll probably go 28 of 34, but throw for 190 yards because every single completion feels like it's for 4 yards. TCU is bound for a big-time win. Their record is a little bit unfortunate just because of how good Josh Hoover, Jordan Dwyer, and Eric McAllister really are. The quarterback finds receivers better than just about everybody. I think you'll be a really good NFL prospect. I'm going to take TCU to win on the road once again and get a big-time win, a win that they really need for that Sonny Dykes program. 6 o'clock, a game and a team that you didn't really hear anything. Well, you heard a lot about one team. You didn't hear about the other team. Georgia Tech squeaked by Boston College last week, and Brent Key's interview said, "What do you mean? We won the game." Everybody kind of just threw that off. Georgia Tech still wants playoff conversations. They still feel like they are in the hunt going up against a Pitt team that didn't care that Notre Dame could put up 105 on them. As long as they were able to win the other two games, can Pitt get it done against Haynes King and Georgia Tech?
Give me Georgia Tech to win, and my JG guarantee is Georgia Tech to cover -2.5. At home in Atlanta against a mediocre Pittsburgh team, give me Georgia Tech to keep the season alive.
Why'd you already write GT for me?
I know where you're going. You ain't going against Haynes King.
No, nope, I ain't going against Haynes King. Georgia Tech's going to dominate the line of scrimmage. Georgia Tech's going to dominate the time of possession. My college football playoff bracket doesn't necessarily look right, but I think I can get some points back because I had Georgia Tech squeaking into the playoff. I still think that's a part of the conversation. Give me Georgia Tech. Tennessee and Florida. Florida favored by 4.5?
Nah, you have that wrong.
Okay.
Tennessee's favored by 4.5.
Yeah, that almost threw me off.
I literally went to double check as I was reading it on our notes. I was like, ain't no way.
Hand up. That's on me.
Why do I think Florida wins this game? I'm going with it. Tennessee has nothing to play for. Their season's done. This is a classic Josh Heupel L. Give me Florida for the upset. Why not?
Sure. I think Florida 4.5 is the right way to go about it.
Wow. Okay.
Joey Swagular going up against a really good Florida secondary. Why not rally behind DJ Lagway and Jordan Ball? Give me the Florida Gators. BYU and Cincinnati on the way out. Can Cincinnati, your Bearcats who've let you down for what feels like 8 straight weeks, get it done?
It's like a bad ex-girlfriend, man. They hurt you, they kill you, they shoot you through the heart, but yet you just come right on back. Give me the Bearcats, baby. Night game at Nippert Stadium. Ain't no way BYU wins this game. Give me the Bearcats.
Two words, Bear Bachmeyer. BYU wins it. We're talking Auburn Mercer. We're talking Auburn Opelika right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Christian Griffin, Jacob's in the studio, but he's giving me the Tyreek Hill sign because we do have a little bit of a guest appearance here with us in the studio. He's a name that you're going to hear on the Auburn High broadcast here this evening. Mr. Jack Hudden joining us to my left, sir. Happy Friday. Happy free-for-all Friday. I know you're a very everyday listener, even more so on the Friday side of things, sending in your picks with us just about every single week in there as well. How you doing, buddy? Looking forward to what is going to be a very fun game at the Duck.
Howdy, boys. Big one tonight. Understand you'll be making a guest appearance
Florida State, North Carolina State,
you
right?
You know it. I wouldn't be talking about anything else here in the Auburn area. Yeah, big one tonight. Auburn High, Opelika, 101st playing between these two squads. And I was there for the last time there was a playoff game in Duck Sanford against Opelika, and it did not go well. So hoping that this one goes a little better tonight.
When was that?
That was back in 2012. That was before you were born, probably.
Almost.
When I was a junior in high school, something like that. So, yeah, that was a minute ago. But we're back, and we're trying to get one done this time. Never met in the semifinals before, Auburn and Opelika. That was a quarterfinal game, and that was the only time they've ever met in the playoffs.
Well, for somebody that's been around this game for so long. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here coming up to finish up the show a little bit more on Auburn and Opelika. But would you say that it's the biggest game in Duck Sanford history?
I mean, is that kind of the route?
I feel like that's kind of the rumblings, and I guess not many people have completely thought about it, but the more you dive into it, just that last statement in itself, being the first time that these two schools have met in the semifinals, I mean, that is Auburn-Alabama Iron Bowl and the playoff type situation for the people that live in this area.
It absolutely is, and I can't think of one specific game that would be bigger than this.
I mean, last
obviously
year,
games to go to the state
if you had, but if you did have a Central that was in the middle of this, and maybe Auburn and Opelika, or Auburn and Central were like 1 and 2. Heck, I mean, it would even be better if Auburn and Opelika were 1 and 2. You know, sure. I mean, they were the premier teams in the state. So that's the only way that I could see it really getting any bigger is if you had, you know, the top teams in the state there. But these are still top five teams in the state. Very much could win the state championship should they get there. And so this is going to be a fun one. I can't remember a bigger one. I can't really speak to, is it the biggest game in Duck Sanford history? But I can speak to the fact that it's definitely up there in, you know, the top rankings.
We'll say arguably the biggest game in Duck Sanford history, but it's probably the biggest game in Auburn Opelika history.
Yeah.
On the football
I would say it is the biggest in Auburn Opelika history.
Yes.
I would say, yeah.
Yes. Especially with how 7A now is set up, of course, these two teams. When they met the back in, 2012, right,
6A.
Jack? They were 6A.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the way it's set up, you won't meet in a state championship game. And
I talked to you about that, and I was thinking that the last time they had played was actually a semifinal game.
Right.
Because it was a round three game, and you had to go back to the 6A format. You're familiar with it with Lee Scott, is that has five rounds to win a state championship.
Yeah.
And so now you don't have as many teams in 7A, so you only have four rounds to get through it. And so I was thinking that was a semifinal game, and that was just a quarterfinal game.
And how convenient, too. I don't know if this is by design, but just thinking about it, that they allow Iron Bowl weekend to be the bye week in the playoffs. I don't know if that's strategy,
I mean,
or if it's just
so
kind of there,
just
but
keeping everything on the same calendar, right? I mean, 7A starts.
I just more so
same.
Mean rather than it being a first round bye essentially for both teams, they choose to have that.
Yeah,
bye
I guess I don't
there.
Really know why they do it that way. Thanksgiving, I guess, just to give 7A kids off the week of Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm happy about it.
It is. I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, the Super 7 or the Super 6 originally.
Right.
It was alternating stadiums between Auburn and Alabama with whoever was the road team that year. And so they would do it pretty close to that Iron Bowl weekend. I don't think it was the exact same weekend. But I mean, there was no crossover with that. It was whoever's on the road this time, that's who stadium we're going to. And now they've just made it easier and said, okay, we're going to make one central stadium and play it in a non-Legion Field Birmingham location.
Thank the Lord for that.
Christian Griffin, Jacob Goins, and we got our buddy Jack Hutton here joining us on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Probably take a little bit of an early break or an on-time break is whatever that refers to anymore with our show. We get all of them in, but just sometimes not at the 15 or zero mark. So we'll try and get a normal break so that way we can have plenty of time to give our final thoughts for this game. And so we'll speed everything up just a little bit. What are your thoughts prior to, I know you want to have a little bit of conversation on the playoff and the playoff formats
I keep cutting you off. So
no,
finish your setup.
But before that, wanted to just get your thoughts on, or both of your thoughts rather, on Auburn Mercer. We haven't had the chance to talk to you about the quarterbacks, with Deuce Knight being all but confirmed based off of sources to be the starter in Jordan Hare. Are you at the point of Jacob, Jack, where it's Deuce Knight's game? The only reason that you bring in somebody else is if things go really, really well for the fourth quarter, or if things go really, really poorly and all of a sudden it's 14-3 at halftime and you need some sort of spark? Or are you okay with the way that, I guess, Auburn has at least reportedly planned on going about things, where both quarterbacks plan on seeing snaps?
Yeah, and I would even go as far to say that If you get into a back and forth game and Mercer is about to upset you, or it looks bad and you need a drive, I'd almost throw Jackson Arnold out rather than I would Ashton Daniels just because of the whole redshirt. I don't know if there's a whole lot of – I actually don't know if there's a whole lot of difference between the two. I mean, I know we saw Ashton Daniels go off in Nashville.
I think Ashton Daniels is off the table.
Ashton Daniels is not playing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I don't think there's any reason you play him at all.
I'm talking Deuce and Jackson.
Yeah. I think there's a world. You know, if Auburn gets down, let's say 10-0 out of the gate, you know, Mercer runs back a kickoff and then goes on a drive after Auburn fumbles it away, and Auburn can't move the ball at all. You know, do you come out in the second quarter with Jackson Arnold and try and move the ball some? Yeah, you have to win the game because you're still trying to get to a bowl game. You know, you're still trying to do everything for this season. And if you win this one, it sets up a fairly big Iron Bowl. You know, I mean, Auburn is at least playing for a postseason berth, and then Alabama's playing for a college football playoff. You both got stuff to play for. I know Alabama's a little bit more, but that's going to be rocking even more so. And all you got to do is beat Mercer. And so I do think that there's a way in which Arnold makes it into the game in that circumstance. But I agree with you is that the primary goal of this is you want to see Deuce in as many reps as you can with the ones. That's the important part of that, is that you got to see him with the ones. Maybe you get a few guys in on second team who you're thinking are going to play a big role next year.
Yeah.
But you have to see them. I mean, you can't just go the full season and let it ride and then take your chances and say, well, we promise we're going to get you in next year.
That was something that we've talked about throughout the week of the most important thing other than winning the football game, yes, is giving Deuce Knight now, who, again, has been confirmed by multiple sources, is getting the start in Jordan Hare for the 102 kickoff against Mercer. But rather than forcing him to use reps against third string and the practice footage and the practice film against guys with miscommunications and things like that, is to get him legitimate reps to allow him to be able to work on things in the offseason, throwing him to the fire a little bit to where you don't have the protection coach's whistle to not allow you to get hit. You're going out there, you're playing a legitimate football game, and if the future is Auburn with Deuce next year, that can be the place that you plan on going. This game will tell you a lot about it, but Jacob mentioned a good point a couple times as well about not getting too high nor getting too low based off of the results that number 9 brings you on the field.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you get to win, I think that the most important thing for Auburn, obviously, other than getting a win, though, is I think you got to create your own, I guess, drama is a good way, because sure, you don't want the game to be in doubt, but I think you want to give Deuce some sort of, okay, we're going to put you in a two-minute offense here, even if there's, you know, 9 minutes left in the third quarter and you're up by 28. I mean, okay, here's your plan of attack this drive. We're going to try this. We want you in the end zone before 5.5 minutes on the clock. You know, you have a four-minute offense to run. These are your protections. These are your looks. This is a script that you have. Like, I mean, you want to give him everything that you're going to give him in an Iron Bowl or in something like that.
Yeah, you're down 10. Halfway through the fourth quarter, we need to drive, rely on your defense to get a stop, go back on the fields, and get us in field goal range.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, there's something to say about maybe getting in some of the walk-on guys who don't really play often. I understand that angle, but right now, I mean, DJ Durkin and this squad's goal, I think, is obviously number one, to win the game, but number two, Durkin could very well be on this staff next season, and you're going to want to see a Deuce Knight that has been through that fire. So put him in situations like that, that maybe the game doesn't call for it, but you go, okay, erase everything on the scoreboard. You're down 10. You need a touchdown. You're playing, I don't know, Ole Miss or somebody, and you've got to go get a touchdown now. You got 3 minutes before the half. Go do it. Even if there's, you know, midway through the fourth quarter
sure,
or something.
Sure, sure. Yeah. One of those, you're not looking up at the scoreboard. You're looking at the play clock.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to go. You're getting two or three signals at one time. Go call your two plays. Get on the ball and go.
Which is why I'm okay with Auburn throwing up 30 in this game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, perfectly fine with that.
I think that needs to be the minimum, just because, I mean, we've talked about it. Yes, it's Mercer. Yes, it's an FCS team, but one of the most proficient offenses in the country. You're going to have to score points in this game. Auburn favored by almost 4 touchdowns, which just feels like a lot in this game, especially with wanting to keep guys healthy in the second half. But the defense wants to go out and prove themselves. The offense and Derek Nix want to go out and prove themselves. And man, how funny of a story would it create if you do see Jackson Arnold and Deuce Knight and both have success after Ashton Daniels having success? Goes to show you, you can circle in red Sharpie where the issue really was with the offense over the past couple of years.
Well, to go back to what we were talking about earlier, I think that Ashton Daniels and Jackson Arnold, and I know that you could get flack for this, but in Nashville, I think what we saw was not necessarily a product of Ashton Daniels. I think it was a product instead of Derek Nix.
Yeah.
I think that's
a product of a plug in place with the quarterbacks and simply the offense being on one page, knowing what the read was, knowing what the play was, and being able to just move the football.
You got a little better playmaking, I think, from Ashton, but I mean, I don't think Jackson Arnold, with that script in that game and with guys making plays that they did, I'm not so sure if the offensive results are that much different with him in. That's my opinion, and I think some people will throw shade at that, but sure, that's what I think, man.
No, I mean, would that not build more confidence as a whole in the Auburn offense, though, to show that there's multiple guys that can run the system rather than it being a hero performance from the guy who calls the plays at the huddle?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would give a lot more, at least from the future, the building standpoint of what we're hoping this offense can become. We're about to get to a break, so that way we can talk a little bit of Auburn and Opelika coming up here in, pregame coverage in just over 2 hours or so, right? With extended coverage beginning at 6 p.m. over on Wings 94.3. The two of these guys will be on the call. I'll be in attendance, maybe in the booth, and I'll be the secondary spotter, the secondary statistician. I promise I will not try and make Jacob laugh during returns or anything like that.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
Perfect. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, that's what I want to hear. But real quickly, I don't know how quickly this can be done. Might be a conversation for Monday or Tuesday next week, especially after knowing more of the results from college football this weekend. But we did a little bit of math that say that 24 or 26 teams still feel like they want to have a seat at the college football playoff conversation. I know you have thoughts on that. Again, I guess more of a synopsis of what you'd like to talk about, and we can dive into more details later on.
We could. I mean, you and I kind of talked about this off air, and Jacob was kind of involved, but it was the it's the playoff format that I think a lot of people have always wondered about. And you know, we thought about a way to build a bracket is, first of all, you go to 16. And I think that that's something that most people are on board with, saying, okay, go to 16 and then cap it there. You know, that's – and I know that people will say, well, that's slippery slope, and, you know, you could keep going and going. I think that is a hard cap. That's where you leave at 16 teams. And I think from there, there's a way to kind of keep conference championship games give them a little relevance, or at least get the same revenue and get some more interest around that week without totally rendering them useless for some teams. You know, you brought up a good point with you taking the top two teams and then you take your 3 through 6 and you go 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5 in what we call face-off games, which is, you know, you do it 1:30 and 7:30 on Saturday at Mercedes-Benz. You do them back-to-back, and the winners of that go into not necessarily the bracket, but they go into the pool of teams that you can select from.
Sure.
So you got four major conferences, and you're going to end up taking, you know, four from each in that pool. You got a couple of G5 teams that you could also do some sort of playoff with and get two that way. And then, you know, what to do with Notre Dame and the independents, you know, that's another conversation, but I think you make them join. I think you make them join a conference at some point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's I think it's an interesting rabbit hole to go down.
It definitely is. And my conversation more on that was we were talking about the 12-team playoff of how I think the SEC needs to do that. You take 1 and 2, the teams that were going to play in the conference championship, and you bid them kind of the regular season SEC champions because, I mean, like it's like what you have in college basketball, right?
You could still crown a champion.
You could still crown a regular season champion if one team goes 11-1 and one goes 10-2. Those are the top place teams. Congratulations. Rather than winning a football game, you won the SEC. You won the gauntlet. It's like what Auburn basketball talked about last year, where there was really nothing for them to play for in Nashville because they had already won the SEC regular season, which beats me on why there's more value in the Nashville tournament than there is in the 18-game slate.
But in your argument, what you were talking about in that is doing that allows you not only one, but two essentially, and I'm putting air quotes around, conference championship games.
Conference, yes. You basically get two automatic bids, and then you turn it into an overall event for the SEC championship game. And those two teams are now in that pool. If you want to pick SEC teams, and the other two that lost can now be that outside reserve on a maybe a weaker year where you still need one or two other teams, you can go and select who was that four seed that lost to the fifth seed, and now that team is the 11 seed or whatever the case may be. But definitely a conversation for another day, a conversation that we'll continue to dive into as this weekend is going to determine a whole lot, because there's games that are play-in games. There's games that you got to win to keep your season alive. There's games that you got to win just to have a conversation and try and have a seat at the table. But those are all the Saturday games, and we got to talk about a little bit more about a Friday game that's coming up in just over 3 hours. We talk Auburn, we talk Opelika v. 101, and we get to talk about that when we come back as we wrap up the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
The conversations that we have off air make my brain hurt, but they also make a whole lot of sense. And we continue talking about that entire bracket format that we basically just almost daily save college football, but also create a whole lot of simplicity in college football just about every single time we have any sort of discussion between the three of us.
Jack, but you and I have solved world hunger, I think, on a couple of long road trips.
That those are like you ever heard of, you know, shower thoughts, like when you just you think of these solutions to the world. I think Jacob and I have those just on road trips, and we'll just bring them up. Like, hey, I have an idea about oxygen.
Yeah, you know? Halfway delusional, but they make sense, and the more you talk about it, you make each other believe that it makes even more sense.
Correct.
I'm going to hand this final minute off to the two of y'all. Have a conversation. Let everybody know what they need to know about an incredible game here coming up in just a couple of hours.
Jakey, ball game, what you got over there?
Yeah, we got about a minute or so before we're out of here. Man, it's been a great show. Christian, thank you for carrying today. Voices is – I feel like I've been battling it for about 3 weeks now. So we're going to give it everything we got tonight for Auburn and Opelika, man. The 101st all-time meeting between the Tigers and the Dogs. We had the 100th meeting at Bulldog Stadium this year in the regular season. Tigers got it done 17-10, but now the Bulldogs come to Duck Sanford Stadium. They've got to come through us. Birmingham is on the line. A trip to win a state championship runs through the Duck. It's Auburn and Opelika tonight, and if you were not one of the lucky 8,000 that got a ticket to that thing where they sold out in an hour, you can tune in with us. Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, and the Radio Alabama app. We're going on the air at 6 o'clock tonight. Special extended pregame coverage with great interviews, great guests, and more. And then 6:30, normal pregame starts. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Hutton, we're on the air on Wings 94.3. Kickoff set for 7 o'clock, my friends.
Really exciting day for the community coming up. I mean, Auburn Opelika is getting the highlight. The lights are shining bright on East Alabama tonight. You get the Central Thompson game over in Phoenix City, so that'll be another fun one. But just a really good night for the community. Looking forward to it. If you can't get out, listen in on Wings 94.3, and we'll see you tonight.
Yep, tonight, Wings 94.3. Pregame starts at 6, kickoff at 7 on the Auburn High Sports Network. We will see you on the other side. Auburn and Mercer tomorrow as well. We talk all that and more on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, for Jack Hutton in the studio, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe and go Tigers.